Montreal Gazette's Hockey Inside Out website, here's our friend Michael Boone. Hello, Booney. How are you?
I'm to be honest, I'm a bit gobsmacked, Bob. I didn't see this one coming. Yesterday, I was on with your Sportsnet cousins, Tim and Sid, confidently predicting
that Terrier
would keep his job and that some poor assistant coach would be shown the door
as
in an effort to jolt the team. But once again, I was wrong. Bob, I've been wrong about everything since Secretariat and the Belmont, and I bet him to show. So, keep the perfect record going here.
Well, it doesn't really surprise me, to tell you the truth, from a number of perspectives. First of all, the managing general, Marc Bergevin, has limited choices. I know people like to say you can trade this guy or trade that guy. Big deals during the season. Well, big deals anytime almost never happen. They're very difficult to do in the sport of hockey. You know, maybe he'll shuffle the deck chairs on the third and fourth line a little bit, which will mean nothing at the trade deadline. So you're trying to revitalize a hockey team who, in my opinion, just isn't good enough. And you're hoping that the arrival of Claude Julien can sprinkle some magic dust on them and make them better for at least a week. And there's some evidence to support that theory. If you look at what happened in the Island, if you look at what's happened in Boston, if you look at what's happened in St. Louis, coaching changes, the team plays better for a period of time. Long term, do I think it matters? No. Do I think this will matter? No. But in the short term, this team is spiraling into oblivion. Agree or disagree?
Totally agree, Bob.
Yeah, they're not that good.
No, they're not that good. You know, the early season record notwithstanding, if you look over the roster, they just don't have the horses. You know, I love Paul Byron. I mean, nobody's playing better for $900,000 in the National Hockey League. But him as a top six forward, give me a break. You know, the talent is not there. Maybe it's there to make the playoffs, which at this point is not a certainty, quite frankly, even though they continue to lead the division. But this is not a Stanley Cup winning team, unless, I don't know, Carey Price totally stands on his head.
Maybe. Well, that's...
He hasn't been doing lately. He's been kind of sitting on the pot rather than standing on his head.
You're right.
He's been awful. I think that was the red flag for the organization, was, you know, in the absence of an injury, and we haven't heard anything about that, Carey Price's game went totally south, and that's got to be scary.
So, Mike, understanding that just yesterday you thought Therrien wasn't going anywhere, and that outside of this press release that Marc Bergevin says we need a new energy around here, we don't know much that went into this. Is Michel Therrien still the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens if Claude Julien wasn't fired by Boston?
That is an excellent question.
Well, it's okay.
And I think
it's just an okay question.
No, it's a good question. It's a really good question. And I think there is something to that, that they felt that, you know, when Julia got fired in Boston, there was immediate speculation that Las Vegas would be buzzing around to pick him up to go out there.
Well, but they were. Yeah.
So I think they had to strike when the fire is hot. There's speculation around town, you know, was this Michel Bergevin's decision? You know, he famously said that he and his buddy Therrien were in the foxhole together. Turns out one of them stuck his head up above the foxhole with predictable results. But there's speculation that this was a Jeff Molson call. And depending on what goes on for the rest of the season, I don't know whether Bergevin's job security is
right.
I'd want to put a whole lot of money on.
So what does it require, I wonder, for Marc Bergevin to keep his job?
A decent playoff run at this point.
Well, hang on, Boone. They got to make the playoffs first.
Yes, they do.
And don't bet on that.
Sure thing. No, don't bet on that. I wouldn't. When you look at Ottawa's absolutely surging, you know, if they win all their games in hand, they're going to leapfrog the Canadiens. Your mighty Leafs, I like their chances. I think. You know, how's the feeling up there? Do you see them as a playoff team at this point?
Who knows? You know, I mean, people in Toronto are just happy because they got a bunch of young kids and the future looks bright. Yeah, the future isn't today, though, so I'm not really worried about whether the Maple Leafs make the playoffs or not, and I don't think they are. They'd like to, there's some advantages to making the playoffs economically and experience wise, but I don't think they really, I don't think they're all going to get bent out of shape if they don't make them. Look,
no, it's, and it's a totally different situation down here. Down here, it's a catastrophe.
Of course it is. Playoffs. Yeah.
Isn't it always, though?
Well.
Yes, it is.
Look, here's what we know. Claude Julien, when the day he got fired, there were no less than 10 teams who had meetings in various outposts across North America and said, all right, this guy's now available. How do we feel about our coach? And did he get job offers? Did he get nibbles from other places? He very well might have. But a whole bunch of teams reassessed their coaching situation when this guy became available. And the Montreal Canadiens, knowing this, figured, all right, we got a problem. We can't win hockey games. We're not sure about this coach's staying power. Maybe we better jump before somebody else grabs him. And then we're left with very little choice. Agree or disagree?
I pretty much agree. I also find it curious that, the Bruins were happy to let him go to a division rival. I wonder if the Canadiens didn't, you know, are we going to hear about a draft choice thrown in there? Are we going to hear about some money ponied up in terms of the rest of Julien's contract?
Must be.
Yeah, because I can't see the... And you know, not only are they divisional rivals, they are bitter divisional rivals. So just to see the guy, you know, hop in his car and drive up to Montreal, there's got to be some considerations involved, to my mind anyway. That would be my position if I were running the Boston Bruins.
Based on your experience and observations, is there anything in Claude Julien that is unique among NHL coaches? Is there any reason to believe that he brings with him some kind of magic dust that he can sprinkle on this team and make them significantly better? Because I don't think he can.
Among the witticisms that I offered to your beloved colleagues yesterday was the fact that neither Toe Blake nor Scotty Bowman could do much more with the current Montreal roster than Dario was doing. So we shall see. You know, I think there'll be a Julien bump. They play mighty Winnipeg on Saturday afternoon where Paul Maurice is waiting to get fired. And we'll see, you know, we'll see if they win that one. And we'll see how it affects Price's game. And we'll see how it affects Alex Galchenyuk's game. You know, given Julien's record in Boston with Tyler Seguin, didn't exactly blossom under Julien.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with Alex Galchenyuk. A lot of questions, and the answers will be forthcoming.
Lost in all this was the big off-season move, and really the only significant off-season move by the Montreal Canadiens, and that's the trading of P.K. Subban.
Yeah.
And I know it was an emotional thing for many Montreal fans, but now that we are more than a half a season into that change, how would you evaluate it?
Oh, I hate to wimp out, Bob, but I think the jury is still out on that one.
That's fair.
There's a lot of you can't just compare PK stats and Weber stats.
No, I know
who's older and how many more useful seasons. I found what was significant for me was that when the deal went down, all the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and the renting of clothing took place on the Anglo side of the fan base, A, for the most part, and B, I didn't sense a lot of outpouring of grief from his teammates. So that tells you something about the dynamic in the room with PK here. Yeah, I from what you see of PK in you know, in that hagiographic documentary that he paid for on himself and just generally clips of him. I mean, Bob, or you know, could you imagine working with a guy like that all day long? You know, like a guy that just is over the top, ebullient, never shuts up. I think it drove his teammates nuts to a certain extent. I think his style of play forwards clustered on the blue line, wondering what he was going to do with the puck. We could go on and on, picking apart his game. I just found it significant that he was, that all the mourning was confined to fans when PK was on.
That's an interesting
not
point.
Not to dwell on this, but since we got into this conversation, and we're talking about the Montreal Canadiens and why they're where they are, and the future of Bergevin as the general manager. I mean, his big deal was essentially to exchange a pawn for a pawn, or a knight for a knight, or a rook for a rook, however you want to suggest it. And yes, maybe he got out a guy that the other players didn't like that much and who was a bit annoying. I like PK, and my relationship with him has been more social than professional, and I found him to be a charming guy. But I don't have to be, I'm not with him every day, I don't have to play with him, etc. But when you're trying, if you're the general manager of a hockey team, you're trying to establish, these are my weaknesses and these are my strengths. And what I want to do is, I'm prepared to give up a little bit of my strength in order to improve my weaknesses. And that deal had nothing to do with that. Nothing. It had to do maybe with chemistry in the room, but it had nothing really to do with the performance on the ice. Different kinds of players.
I would take issue with that to a degree.
Go ahead.
Because I think Weber brought a leadership dimension that was maybe lacking on the team after, you know, Pacioretty spent a year being captain.
Okay,
and dealing with, among other issues, the fact that PK was bitter that he wasn't captain.
Okay, how's that going?
Well.
How's that working out right now, that leadership issue? You went and got a guy who brought you leadership.
I got a cop out on that. You know, I don't go to the room. I'm a blogger that sits on my ass at home.
But you can see the performance on the ice.
I've only done 4 or 5 Habs games this year. Okay, having Shea Weber there is a completely different temperature. It's a completely different volume. It's a completely different feel.
Care about the volume. I care about wins and losses.
No, but those guys in that room respect Shea Weber. Shea Weber brings a calmness to that whole situation. It's a different dynamic.
They're losing a lot more calmly than they used to lose with PK.
But this has nothing to do with PK and Weber. Mike, this has to do
with
Carey Price.
Well, yes,
what is wrong with Carey Price?
He doesn't know the answer to that. No one knows the answer to that. Carey Price doesn't know the answer.
Shall we idly speculate?
Go ahead.
New father always presents a certain number of challenges.
Yeah, I agree.
A wife from Washington State that is living on the South Shore of Montreal. I mean, she may as well be.
Yeah, and Mars.
I'm scared I'll say something politically incorrect among alternative places where she could live, but it's hard on her. You know, he can go off on a 5-game road trip and she goes to the mall and everybody speaks French.
Yep.
And the fact that he's got 2 years left on his contract, and my reading on that was, this has to be the winning year. There has to be some movement here that kindles within Carey Price the reasonable bet that he can win a Stanley Cup, which is the only jewel missing from his crown at this point.
Yeah.
Look at his career record in the uniform of the Montreal Canadiens. And I don't know where he's at in that calculus at this point.
As when he's the best goalie in the NHL, he is a one-trick pony in Montreal. He is the reason they win. And when he doesn't play well or is absent, as he was for a good portion of last season, his absence is the reason they lose. Because when push comes to shove, Weber or PK Subban aside, take your pick as to who you like, they aren't good enough. And eventually the general manager is going to have to pay for that, because they always do, Michael.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Price is casting his gaze beyond the banks of the St. Lawrence River and wondering what situation would give him the best chance of winning.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. And I'd hesitate to say if that situation is Montreal.
Michael, we always love you. In spite of the references to that other show that we don't talk about here. Michael Boone.
I love you back, Bob.
Talk to you soon.